You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the Irish Racing Podcast again here at William Hill on Friday, February the 16th. Andy Holding taking a look at a 7-race programme at Dundalk, not the usual 8. I feel most fillers aren't getting a night off, only covering 7 this evening. Not a particularly strong night with regards quality. Probably the best race on the card comes in the shape of the 7:13, which Togaville bids to repeat last year's success in the hands of Pat Smullen. As ever, big feels, very, very competitive racing. I think if we can come out of the evening relatively unscathed and perhaps have a couple of winners along the way, we might just about get our head in front. Let's deal with the first race, which is a 5-furlong handicap in which quite a few regulars in these kind of events are set to face the starter. We've, of course, got Blues Breaker, who won one of these contests back on the 12th of January, bidding to uphold the form in the likes of Dan's Gift, My Good Brother and Flawlessly. And it's that race which I think could end up being the key to this contest. Although Blues Breaker ran out a determined winner in the end on that occasion, I felt as though Dan's Gift really squandered his winning opportunity that day by almost breaking too well for him and travelling far too strongly at the head of affairs, which is not really his run style. Dan's Gift is a horse that likes to just slightly miss the break, running behind horses, get plenty of cover, and then be produced with a late and fast run. He's only really got one run, so he was never really going to get home, to be fair. So he's actually done quite well to hang on to third and finish ahead of My Good Brother and Flawlessly. And I think with a more patient ride this evening, he's got a good chance of turning around the form. Indeed, he was a bit unlucky at the time before that when he was 6 behind Flawlessly. Wayne Lorden had absolutely no luck on this horse whatsoever in the latter stages when he was bursting for a run. So hopefully tonight the gaps will come, he gets the right ride. And around about 6-1 this morning, I think Dan's Gift is a fairly reasonable each-way recommendation in the opener.
Race 2.
On to the 6:30 then, which is a mile maiden, and we don't often get races as weak as this here at this track. There's often one or two nice types in this race from the sort of Joseph O'Brien yard, and maybe, you know, we even had John Ox and Dermot Weldy in their day sort of having representatives in this kind of event. But we've only really got one horse of any great magnitude, and that's Port Lions, who surely can't fail to get his in front tonight. He's rated 84. And there's nothing wrong with his attitude, really. He's just been really unlucky to keep bumping into one. That Ship of Dreams from the Judge of O'Brien stable, who chinned him last time out, he's a fairly decent horse. And so is Zibar as well, the time before. I don't think there was anything wrong with that run either. His time figures are fairly solid. He virtually runs to the same level every time he runs. His last three runs have got him 81, 78, 79. So if he runs to that kind of speed figure again, from a low draw with Smullen on board, he's going to be very difficult to beat in what really is an absolutely horrible race. I can't really make out or come up with anything of any great magnitude with regards to an each-way recommendation. Perhaps Max Velocity, I suppose, if you held a gun to my head. But, you know, that run behind Pillar of Magic the other day wouldn't be anything out of the ordinary. So Port Lions should get his head in front tonight, as the market suggests.
Race number 3.
On to the third race then, the 7 o'clock. Very competitive handicap here. And once again, quite a few of these are very, very closely matched on recent form, as the betting suggests, sort of 5-1 the field, but there's a whole host of horses, about 7 or 8 of them, all between 5-1 and 10-1. So it's a real head-scratcher for punters here. A lot's going to depend on the run of the race early, track position as usual, to determine the winner. I do think Lady Rosebud is worth a mention here. She was very impressive 2 starts back for the Patrick Martin stable when she beat subsequent winner Texas Radio and Military Hill, who reopposes here this name. Now, she's in any that kind of level of form tonight, then she's sure to go well. The fortune last time actually just pulled way too hard for her own good in the early stages, and although Conor McGovern tried to settle her, she was just basically, she'd run a race by the first couple of furlongs. She plugged on okay to finish 5th, but the die was cast very early. If she settles better today in the hands of Gurai Broider from stall 1, there's a good chance that she could easily bounce back to form. The other one to mention, obviously, is the very, very solid Military Hill. He's often there or thereabouts in these kind of events. And there was nothing wrong with his run here the last day when he was favourite and finished second to the aforementioned Texas Radio. And based on that run, he should hold Rummaging in Crescendo and Multivis on that particular form line. I don't think 6-7-1 is a bad each-way shout for this horse, albeit he's still 0-8 here at Dundalk. One of these days he's going to drop in, and tonight could be the night. So those have been my two against the field there, Military Hill and Lady Rosebud.
Race 4.
On to the 7:30 then, and probably the first of my confident bets here runs in the shape of Mr. Speaker, who bids to floor the bid of last year's winner, Togerville, of course, who took this race in 2017. Togerville's bound to go off in front. He wears his heart on his sleeve and he does set really good fractions, and he's quite capable of running at a very high level and hanging on here, as he proved three starts ago when he made all the running. But I'm hoping that Master Speaker, if he's anywhere near this trailblazing grey in the early stages, and he's got a good chance of picking him off, because last time out he turned back the clock in no uncertain fashion, having his first run for Adrian McGuinness. He started his race off quite slowly, as he often does, from stall 12, and he was a good bit back turning for home, but he absolutely charged home down the straight, finding an electrifying turn of foot to come home in 33 and change, which is a very rare bird here at Dundalk, particularly as the ground's been riding quite slow during the winter. And I've got a sneaky feeling that the New Connections have just found the key to this horse. Don't forget, he was rated 101 in his pomp, this horse. So off a mark of 78, only £6 higher than last time out, in this kind of grade, he's got every chance of gunning them down again, particularly in a small field when they're likely not to get too stretched. You know, they're probably racing more of a pack than they did last day. So he's certainly got a chance of running down Togerville late on anyway. So Master Speaker, quite a confident vote there in the fourth race.
Race 5.
On to the fifth race then, and again another very complex and competitive wide open handicap, ran about 4-1 the field this morning. You'd certainly have to mention Financial Conduct in a positive sense. This horse has very much been on the upgrade throughout the winter, and his races have been quite spaced out quite nicely, so he's had the pause that refreshes. I thought he was quite impressive, certainly better than the winning margin suggested last time out when he only won by 3/4, but he actually went through the line quite strongly with his head in his chest, so I don't think there was anything to say negatively about that performance. Overall, he probably has a bit to find off his mark, but like I say, I do think he's going forward in a rush. He's got a good stall position and I think he'll go well, but I'm certainly prepared to give Alcander another chance here than he did after his poor run last time out. It might look on face value to be a weak effort. He was back from 5-1 into 9-4, but unfortunately, as I touched upon in the podcast, stall 14 ended up being an absolute nightmare for Billy Lee. Sometimes when they split early on and the field splinters, you can get in here and tucked in and get plenty of cover. But unfortunately, he raced four or five horses deep all the way down the back straight. He never saw any cover. He got shoved out wider and wider as they turned to the straight. And by the time that he come to the 2 furlong pole when he was making his challenge, his legs had turned to jelly. So hopefully tonight, with a much better draw, he's got stall 4 tonight. Chrissy Hayes on board. Get him settled. Get him tucked into the pack. He's got every chance of running to the level that he did the time before when he was 3/4 of a length behind Commander One in a very, very fast time figure. He would have a seriously good chance here today. And like I say, the draw does make a massive difference in most horse races, particularly here at Dundalk. And with that factor very much burning in the back of my mind, I've got a sneaky feeling that Alcander's going to run a good deal better than his market price suggests this morning.
Race number 6.
To the 8:30 then, which is a mile and a quarter maiden, and the one I like here is Duke of Waspington. I've had my eye on this horse actually for a little while now, expecting him to win a race of this nature. His first run caught my eye in no uncertain terms back in late December when he finished fourth behind Kirk's Dancer. He was very easy to back on that occasion, but I watched him in that race quite intently and he went through it like a nice horse. He stayed on quite nicely without being unduly punished. And he stepped up markedly on that performance to finish second behind a horse on the improve from the Joseph O'Brien stable last time out called Uncle Henry. And the pair of them pulled nicely, cleared the rest in a decent time figure. Once again, he went through the race well. He finished off his race nicely. And it quite surprised me, actually, that Fuzzy Stacker's subsequently let him go to the Pat Murphy stable. But he goes to a yard that is quite capable of handling these kind of horses. Don't forget, Pat's had a couple of wins out of Carvalhas throughout the winter. So he's perfectly capable with a horse of this nature. He's a real big, strong type by Duke of Marmalade. I think he's got plenty of size and scope. And I don't think they'll drop out back in triple inconvenience him either. I'd certainly expect him to uphold the form with Lady Devisia and Sir Danilo. I suppose one could argue that Spring Garden sets the standard here, but to be fair, she's only rated 68 and she has had 9 chances so far to date. Obviously, Las Alomos has got to be considered from the all-conquering Joseph O'Brien stable and hasn't been running too badly on the turf. But Duke of Waspington, I think, sets a really good standard here, and providing new connections have got to go forwards rather than backwards. It's hard to see him not running well here, and I think around about 4-1 this morning, he represents good each-way value.
And the final race.
On to the final race then. Quite a complex affair in keeping with quite a few of these races here tonight, Dundalk. I do think Song of the Sky is worth a second look. There's been good money for him this morning. And off a mark of just 50, one can imagine that this mare would certainly have more scope for improvement than one or two of these. That said, I do think Lizard Point is definitely worth more than a second look here. Now, I'm going to be tipping a horse here that's 0-21 and 0-5 here at Dundalk, but to be fair to him, he's only actually raced here 4 times, and his last 2 runs have been quite promising. He got a terrible draw last time out, and I thought he did really well to finish 3rd behind Nimitz. Now, Nimitz is a horse that I've spoke quite fondly of over the winter. He's a very sort of mercurial character, but he finally got it all together on the 26th of Jan and won quite snugly. And I do rate him, that horse Nimitz, in that kind of grade. So I thought Lizard Point only rated 45 from a terrible draw. Considering this horse turned last into the home straight to only get beat 3/4 of a length in the neck by Charles Burns' charge, I thought it was a really good run by this 5-year-old. Chrissy Haynes once again is on board, but the key tonight is drawn in stall 2. That means he's going to be getting a good early track position, racing further up the field. And there's every chance that he'll certainly go close to breaking his maiden tag tonight. Certainly, I think if you're looking for an each-way bet to nothing, around about 6-7-1 this morning, I do think Lizard Point offers up a really good opportunity there for the each-way maggots. Okay, thanks very much for listening to the Irish Racing Podcast this evening here at Dundalk. Hopefully you can join me again on Sunday when we're going to be taking a look at a 7-8 jump programme at Navan. Until then, it's goodbye for me for now.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.